Father, we thank you, Lord, give you praise, give you glory. Here again, in your name, unto you shall the gathering of the people be gathered unto the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts and let the words of our mouth, every one of us, the meditations of our hearts, the thoughts of our heads, and all that we do, let everything be done to the glory of your name. Lord, even today we declare that the entrance of your word bring light and give understanding to us. Thank you, Jesus. The preparations of our heart and the answer of the tongue today, let it all be from the Lord in Jesus' name. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, it is a wonderful thing to be gathered together again today. I want to do part two of the lesson from yesterday and, give us more scriptures and more opportunity for us to share and collaborate on this subject. Praise the Lord. And what is the subject that we're talking about? Well, it's called kindness and sound judgment in helping others. It's all about wisdom and, a few scriptures and stories that we shared yesterday. I'm going to review some, add to it some more scriptures, etc. And what we are talking about. On the one hand, we know that we are commanded to bear one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us that we should bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We discussed that yesterday. What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? Well, it means, you know, we be helpers, you know, lend a helping hand in to others in carrying their burdens. Does it mean that we must carry the burdens and they do nothing? Well, I don't think so, because just a few verses after that, Galatians chapter 5, the one we are reading in Galatians chapter 6 right now, we see just a few verses later that it says that everyone should bear their own burdens. So let's read it. Galatians 6 and 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think that he is something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. So, while we are instructed to help others to carry they are heavy burdens, lend a lifting hand so it's not too heavy for them in case they are crumbling under that weight. At the same time, I'm told that the person themselves must get in under the weight. They can't just sit back, you know, and say, well, let somebody else do it for me. No, that doesn't work like that. So we talked about scriptures like that. We talked about, you know, the things that Paul spoke about, you know, he said that we command everybody that with quietness, you know, they work and eat their own bread. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, you know, said we command everybody, you know, to eat their own bread. Well, why do you say that? Let's read a little, a few verses ahead of that and see why he said that. We start at verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. And why did he say that? You know, because he had heard reports that there were some people walking disorderly What did he mean by walking disorderly? Well, he even commanded them that said, you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition that he received of us. You know how we were, you know, when we were among you. We didn't eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day, you know, with our own hands, so that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we didn't have power to take an offering or whatever from you, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. So we remind you now, if any man would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. So this disorderliness that he's talking about is those who are working, not at all, but are busy bodies. And just don't do anything but let, you know, sit back, relax, let the others do the work, you know, for them. And then they just be asking for handouts. Paul is condemning this behavior right here. Now, he said, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But at the same time, well, do not be weary in well doing. That's right. Don't be weary. And then furthermore, he said, look, these things that we're writing unto you, they are the commandments of the Lord. So if anybody obeys not our word by this gospel, well, mark that person and have no company with them, for they don't respect the word of God, that they may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother, and so on and so forth. Now, looking at both sides of this lesson yesterday, we covered, you know, a few other scriptures. Today, I want to talk some more about helping others, you know, because the Lord has given us a commandment to do so. Praise the Lord. In fact, Jesus, in one place, was talking about sharing what you have. You know, he said, well, in Luke chapter 3, verse 11, if you have two coats, you know, either had two coats, he said, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Basically, you know, helping the needy. That's what we are. Well, you know, Jesus told us that. Praise the Lord. You know, Paul himself in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, he wrote some other commandments that, you know, this is one of the reasons why when, and as I was saying yesterday, when we work and the Lord gives us excess or extra, we should be able to help others, you know, help others. He said, well, when I was with you, you guys know, you know, that these my hands have ministered unto my own necessities. This is Acts chapter 20 and verse 34. While I was with you, I walked with my own hands, you know, to take care of my own needs. You know, let me show you an example. I have showed you all things, verse 35 of Acts 20, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, so, you know, Paul saying, look, we practice the same things among you. We worked with our own hands, you know, and we were able to support the weak. And so also should ye do. Praise the Lord. Yesterday we read, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Proverbs 3:27. And he says in verse 28, don't say to your neighbor, go and come again when you already have it by you. You know, why would you, you know, do that? Just give it to them already. Praise the Lord. Let's read a few more scriptures. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. You know, Now, whosoever has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a question. You have this world's goods. Not everybody does, but you have, which means you have the capacity. It's in the power of your hand to do it. And then you see your brother have need, but then you shut up your bowels of compassion and you don't do it. Well, I mean, it says, how can we say the love of God dwells in such a person? You know, so that's one side of the story. You know, and then there is the other side of the story where people have done us hurt, where, you know, sometimes we even bent over backwards to help them. And, you know, they take advantage of you. So, you know, since human beings are wired for self-preservation for the most part, you know, there's a natural defense system that kicks in. You know, when people have done us hurt, you know, it kicks in that next time you don't even want to, you know, deal with them. I mean, that's a natural behavior, natural instinct. But, because we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we get hurt again. So we just avoid those people. And then unfortunately, the actions of the mean person, have now created mistrust everywhere, you know, and some people, who take advantage of, others, you know, they take advantage of the goodness of your heart. They know that you know that you should give and so on. And so they take advantage of it. And, you know, when people find out, they get offended and it creates distrust. How should we handle these things? Well, I want to speak to everybody. You know, we have responsibilities on both sides. We have responsibility to be forthright and truthful. Scripture says, lie not to one another. You know, we don't need to deceive one another. You know, we've got to be forthright. There are some people, we heard in the shares yesterday in the room, some people say, well, some people borrow with no intention to pay. Well, here's a verse that deals with that. Psalm 37 verse 21. The wicked borrow and do not repay. You know, so everyone that's doing that, Bible classifies them as wicked. Now, let not the wicked, you know, think that they will come into the presence of the Lord in their wickedness. The Bible says, let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. A wicked man, wicked person who borrow and have no intention of paying, you know, and then when the person from whom they borrowed wants their money, it becomes a problem. We heard a story in the room yesterday, and many of you may have experienced even similar things. You know, as behavior such as that is classified as wickedness. The wicked will borrow and he has no intention of paying back. But the righteous, they show mercy and they give, you know, so, but the righteous also when they are giving and all of that, well, should they be naive to the point where they allow themselves to be taken advantage of, you know, time and time again? No. Well, we have to use some wisdom. Well, Jesus told many stories of how we should help others, you know. In fact, he gave this parable of in Matthew 25 from verses 35 to about, you know, 40 and so on, of how, you know, he gave reward to those that helped the poor and the needy and so forth and the destitute and all of that. And, well, there was punishment and abandonment. You know, I mean, just like he cast them out, the ones that did not do it. He said, well, when I was naked, you did not clothe me. When I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was destitute, you did not bring me in. You know, this and this and this. And those people looked at him and said, we never saw you in those conditions. We would, of course, have done something to help you if we saw you. You are the Lord. He said, no, you did see me. Because in as much as you had opportunity to do it to somebody who was in that condition and you didn't do it, that means you didn't do it unto me. And those people were ashamed But the others, he said, well, you saw when I was naked and you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you ministered unto me. When I was hungry, you fed me, and so on and so forth. When I was destitute, you brought me into your house. He said, well, we entered out into the joy of the Lord, and he blessed them. And he said, we never saw you. You know, you didn't even live in our time. You know, how could we have done those things to you? Jesus said, well, you did too. Because as much as you did to any of these, well, you did it also to me. You know, if you give a cup of water to anybody in my name, you've done it to me. And so all those things you did to people around you, you actually did it to me. So enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And they got a tremendous blessing from the Lord. So we see that Jesus actually taught us to give and to help others. And he gave, you know, he gave us enough, you know, warning that those who don't do it, they might face weeping and gnashing of teeth later on. So what does that mean to all of us today? Well, it means that in as much as it lieth within us, you know, we must do the right thing in helping as many people as we can help. But what about if, you know, they have done wickedly? Either they borrowed, they didn't pay, or they, you know, tricked us or deceived us, and we found out and we were hurt and so on. Well, yeah, you know, a situation like that as well. In cases like that, the Lord even talked about, you know, he said, well, you know, you will forgive your brother or your sister. Well, what if they don't ask for forgiveness? What if they continue to do, you know, the evil thing? You know, what are we going to do then when they don't ask for forgiveness and continue to do the evil thing? And every time we, you know, we try to help them, you know, they still continue to hurt us and take advantage of us. Well, that's where the second side of the coin comes in. Sound judgment. You got to use sound judgment. You need to know and preserve yourself, you know, from that kind of evil, you know, from those who would do you hurt. The prudent man, we are told, foreseeth the evil. In other words, he can look ahead and think that, look, this thing is going to bring some harm. And then he will hide himself. In other words, remove himself from that situation. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. And also Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. Talk about the same thing. The prudent man foreseeth the evil. You know, you are prudent because you can think ahead and see situation that may not work. I mean, one of the best examples of that situation of being prudent and see ahead and disengage yourself from it before it brings you into trouble is the story that Jesus told of the, you know, 10 virgins that went forth to meet the bridegroom, 5 foolish, 5 wise. And when it was time, you know, and they rose up to trim their lamps, and all their oil lamps had gone out, when the wise began to put oil in their lamps from the extra vessels they carried, and the foolish had no oil, they had run out, came to the wise and said, can you give us some of your oil because our lamps have run out? And you will be surprised the answer that Jesus said they gave. And Jesus didn't condemn them for that answer. In fact, he called them wise. You know, I mean, they were wise. They were prudent. They saw that, look, you know, while I want to help you, I'm not going to let your own situation drag me down. If I give you what I have now and I don't have enough for the journey, then where does that leave us? Then 2 of us, you know, will not make it. You go get for yourself. You know, I'm a, you know, move on with my own journey. Now, so even in this life, well, when we must help people, We cannot allow them to drag us down. You know, praise the Lord. Somebody has once told a story and a revelation that they had, even on this platform. They were in the airport waiting for somebody, and they waited long enough until, you know, either the person went to the bathroom or something, and they kept calling the flight, and while they were waiting for that person, they both missed the flight. So I'm like, look, you know, you cannot let anyone cause you to miss the flight. You need to drop them like a bad habit if they're not, you know, they're either coming along or you move on. You know, and one time the Lord showed me something to the extent that we should leave nobody behind, no one left behind, you know, and it was like a parable. He told me, he said, parable of the kingdom of God is like this. I began to look and saw what it was showing. And, you know, it still looked like a lot of us were in some ditch and we were trying to climb out of it. We needed help to get out. And there was a strong man at the top of that ditch, and he let down a rope, you know, for us to climb out of it. But the rules were, you know, you could not grab the rope with two hands. You can only grab the rope with one hand and then reach out and grab somebody else behind you. And anytime the people try to grab the rope with both hands, trying to scramble and care about nobody behind them, the guy at the top was trying to pull us out. We just let go of the rope and he stopped pulling anybody, you know, until everybody figured out that the only way you're coming out of that place is, well, you're grabbing onto life, trying to get out of there, but you are grabbing onto somebody else behind you. And if you care nothing about the others behind you, then he stopped helping. He said, well, you got to help one another. You know, no one left behind. And I heard the voice that said that. And I wondered, I said, well, okay. You know, so that was a great lesson. And I realized that, look, we got to help others. But what if, what if they're trying to drag us down? You know, so we got to balance, you know, the scriptures. So that's why we're giving, you know, both sides, you know, of this story. In the book of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 27, there is a blessing, you know, for those that give to the poor. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes from the poor, even many curses shall be upon him. And so that's a stern warning there as well. Even James, he talked about some of these things. We read that yesterday. Don't just say God bless you, you know, when somebody is in need. You have to actually help them. If you just say God bless you and you don't give them, the destitute person, a blanket or whatever, you don't show them a place where they can have shelter or actually help them, give them meal when they are hungry, what good is that? James said, you know, I mean, would they be filled? Just be sure and say, Lord bless you, be filled. No, you got to give them something to eat. And so we see there are many lessons, you know, like this in the scriptures. And then, yesterday I also talked about, you know, the grace to give. Some people are gifted with giving. You know, he that giveth, let him do it cheerfully, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And we talked about those that give, you know, they're like a river, you know, that makes glad the house of God. They have the streams, you know, and the others that don't know how to give, they are like lakes. They just take and take, but nothing, you know, nothing good coming out of them. Let's read this lesson in Psalm 46 and see how the Lord, you know, talks about those that can actually be a channel of blessing. And he encourages us to be that. So we don't want anybody to go away from this room and be discouraged and say, well, I can't help people because they have, you know, they can't be trusted. Well, you have to pray that the Lord will guide you. What should you do in every case? Listen to this. In Psalm 46 verse 4, There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad. Well, I call it the house of the Lord, you know. And so this river that is flowing, you know, has some streams that issue forth here and there, and I'm making glad. You know, this is the picture of the person that is a channel of blessing. And I said to the people, if you know how to give it away, God will always make a way to get it to you. But if you don't know how, well, you know, all you want to do is just hoard it onto yourself. You're not a blessing to anybody. Well, you will not get a true blessing from the Lord. So we're encouraged to help one another to be a blessing. And some people actually have a gift to be a giver, and they can do more than others. But every one of us may have the ability and the chance, the opportunity, you know, from time to time. We are commanded to do good to all men, especially, you know, to the household of faith. And when the opportunity arises, you know, we must do what we can when it is within the power of our hand to do so. You know, so let's consider these things. Let us look at both sides of this, you know, instruction from time to time. This same Galatians 6 that we read, if you go back and read verse 10 of it, said, having therefore opportunity, well, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. You know, so we got to do good to all men as much as our Heavenly Father is doing good to us as well. But we need discernment. This is where we, you know, broke down the lesson yesterday. We need discernment, because sometimes without discernment, the simple pass on and they get hurt. That's what it says. The prudent man forsake the evil. Simple or the naive will get go on and will get hurt. And this creates bitterness and then all kinds of things. So I want to talk just a little bit more on this issue of sometimes you got to say no. Now, I call it sound judgment and discretion and prudence that we got to use in matters of life at times. And you know how it is said that, you know, we got to love one another and so forth. And if you said no, you know how people say, then that means you don't have love. I mean, we've all heard that, you know, but is that what the scripture says here, where we find out that there was actually a lesson being taught of Jesus in a case when people actually said no? So there may be times, I mean, there's a time for everything. You know, there's a time to give, Ecclesiastes 3 says, and a time to refrain from giving. You know, when you see that, you know, some of these people, they just are users, and, you know, they have no interest, you know, in doing the right thing, then you got to use wisdom and you got to use discretion, prudence, and sound judgment. Praise the Lord. Sound judgment means you look at all the facts, you know, and you're not just, you know, looking at the surface. You consider all the facts in order for you to make a decision. Praise the Lord. Let me describe sound judgment to you. It is the, you know, it's also wisdom, but it's the quality of having and using experience, understanding, knowledge, discernment, and exercising discretion. It is the quality of being able to use and exercise counsel and the ability of making good decisions. It is also the quality. I wrote these things, you know, down. We, you know, taught this in a series on the pillars of wisdom way in the back. I mean, way back when. It is a quality of having understanding of a matter or a situation. The quality of being able to use hindsight as well as insight into the present and the future, demonstration of foresight for the future. You know, hindsight is a good thing that we can lean upon, but sometimes if hindsight is all we have, it's too late. You know, when we're already burnt, then it's already too late. However, hindsight would teach us that you should be able to use lessons from the past to help you for the present and even the future. There are times when we must learn how to say no. Some of the problems we are facing today for some people is because you did not say no. It's the same thing even for escaping temptation. At times you must say no. You know, Joseph said no. When the Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him, he was able to say no. And he stood his ground. You know, so Jesus said no to the devil. In Luke chapter 4, you can read the first 13 or so verses where he went to be tempted and all the things that devil suggestions and different things the devil was trying to throw at him. And Jesus was not immune to thoughts from the devil, neither any of us immune. You know, so the devil came to him, said, well, you are the Son of God after all, huh? Why don't you make this stone turn it into bread and so forth? And Jesus could have done it, but he wasn't going to do it because it was the devil that suggested it. You know, so you know, just like even the people, they will come to us, they come to Jesus during his days, they say, show us a sign. You know, what sign do you show you? Show us. I mean, what are you doing? They're always comparing Jesus with Moses. You know, Moses gave us manna from the heavens. What do you give us? You know, you say, no, that was not real manna from heaven. You know, all your fathers who ate those things, they are dead. Where are they now? You know, the bread that I will give you, when somebody eats it, it's going to live forever. You know, and they were always doing that. Show us a sign. Tell us this. You know, what miracle do you do? The Greeks, they want a sign. These ones, they want, you know, the Greeks want wisdom. The Jews want a sign. Everybody. But Jesus wouldn't do it. Anytime they say, well, show us a sign, he wouldn't do it. But then he turned around out of compassion and he went about healing the multitudes. And even when he healed them, he would say, tell nobody. He wasn't interested in showing a sign, doing good for the sake of good. But he was not going to be, you know, moved or tricked into doing something just because somebody said so. You know, so we need to learn. Jesus learned and he knew how to say no to the devil. We need to learn how to say no to the devil as well. Remember, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, we are told that whomsoever you obey, you are the servant of that person that you obey. And so if you obey thoughts of unrighteousness, well, you are the servant of those unrighteousness. You know, that unrighteousness. So if you obey thoughts of righteousness, then you are the servant of righteousness. And many of us, the life that we're living today is as a result of decisions that we have made in the past. You know, likewise, the life that you will live tomorrow could be as a result of decisions that you make today. So, it is important for us to use sound judgment. I know of a case of a brother many years ago, Nigeria and so forth. Brother was so kind and everything, did everything for everybody to the point that he himself, you know, I mean, to a fault, I would say, because it didn't matter who came to him. He gave everything away that he had. And the people took advantage of that. And one day, he himself lost his father and he had given away all his substance to help others. And it was in a situation where people were not even coming to his aid. Well, that, unfortunately, even though he did out of his kindness of his heart, help people and all of that, was, you know, unfortunately, it was a situation of lack of discretion and, you know, lack of wisdom. So we've got to make better decisions for ourselves. You know, gather all the facts before you make a decision whether you're going to help somebody or not. You know, now, but on the other hand, the scripture warns us that, look, there may be times when you may have to make a decision on the fly, but always ask the Holy Spirit, because we are warned and cautioned and say, look, sometimes you may even help a perfect stranger, and they may be an angel in disguise. Scripture says, don't be surprised. Be careful, because you may entertain angels unawares. You know, and in the early church, those kind of things were happening. So that's why they were being warned. But, well, you say, well, how, you know, how do I know they are genuine? Now, most people are there, you know, trying to deceive me and so forth. Well, that's why you must ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Now, if the Lord tells you to help them, then you must help them, even if you think otherwise, because, you know, who are you going to obey, your thinking or the Lord? You know, but we must know how the Lord is speaking to us. We have to discern the voice of the Lord. If you don't know the voice of the Lord, many people confuse their mind with the voice of the Lord sometimes. They may think it's the Lord, but it may just be their mind, you know, telling them something. You know, so we've got to know the voice of the Lord. As many, you know, we are told in the book of Romans, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Verse 14 of Romans 8, they are the sons of God. So we must be led by the Spirit of God. The summary that I want to give today, then I'm going to throw it out for more discussions, is that you got to consider both sides of this coin. On the one hand, there are many scriptures of, you know, what we must do to help people. And there are even stories of things that people did in the Bible to help people and how blessings came to them later on. I mean, they were just doing good. There was a woman who turned out to be, today we call her the Shunammite woman and all that, but it turned out to be that she was just kind in her heart. She used to see this man, looked like, you know, he was a man of God and so forth, but I mean, the man would come into their city maybe to do some ministration or whatever, and he said, look, can I help you? Can I give you something to eat or something to drink? The man came, you know, he said something for him to eat. And it turned out that as often time as he came, he was kind to the man. He even told her husband, said, look, this man looks like a man of God. Why don't we set aside a small room for him, a table, a nightstand, and so forth, where he can do his reading and his studying. I mean, she was showing all kinds of kindness. She wasn't expecting to receive anything. But one day, the prophet, she didn't know. He looked like a man of God to her, but she didn't know he was a prophet. And the prophet said to her, or his servant, go ask this woman what she needs. The woman said, I don't need anything. I dwell in the midst of my own people. I'm quite happy here. She wasn't doing anything in order to get rewarded. She was just doing it. Well, reward was going to come her way anyway. It turned out that she hadn't had a child. She'd been trying, husband and her, for years, but they couldn't do it. And the word of the Lord came from the mouth of the prophet to bring her a child, and so on and so forth. And that was a blessing that she reaped. Even later on in life, when the devil attacked that child, you know, God restored the child to life. Furthermore, at some point in time, this woman got tremendous blessing because of all the things she did. She helped one man, you know. This man also in the future was able to tell her, you know, how to escape to the land of the Philistines when there was serious famine coming into their own place. And he said, look, go sojourn in the land of Philistine or anywhere where you can. Get away from here because the Lord has called for a tremendous famine. It's going to destroy everything. So get away with your family. And she did. But, you know, the story didn't end there. You know, part of the story was God will recover everything to her. And this was part of some of all, because of all of the kindness that she had done in her life. And she came back. You heard the story of how when she came back to ask for her land, 7 years later, at the very moment that she was there, God orchestrated it. That's the moment that the king was asking, you know, somebody that he saw, say, hey, you used to be with Elisha, the man of God. Tell me about all his miracles. And as the man was telling him of a woman whose child Elisha had raised to the dead, from the dead, this woman appeared the very moment, timed in destiny by the hand of the Lord. And you know the rest of the story. King was so impressed, commanded all be restored to her, even the fruits of the land for 7 years she had left. Now, this all started by some kindness that she used to show. Praise the Lord. You know, even recently I told you the lesson of this Mephibosheth, you know, 2 Samuel 9, that, you know, David said, look, I want to show kindness to somebody from Jonathan's house or Saul's house because of all that Jonathan did, you know, for me and so on. Well, it's something that they did. I want to call it paying it forward. You know, Jonathan was doing some good for David, helping him to escape the evil hand of his father. You know, Jonathan's father, Saul, was trying to kill David. And all that goodness that Jonathan paid forward, one day came back to be a blessing for Mephibosheth, who at that time was in a place called Lodabar, a place of nothing happening, no pasture, no word, no progress. A place of dismay, discouragement, despair, a place of abandonment and everything. And the word of the Lord came and fetched him from the mouth of David the king. I'll show you kindness of the Lord. Promoted him and put him in a place to sit among princes. You've heard the story. Well, it wasn't even what he did. It was what his father did. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, you know, don't be weary in well doing. You know, don't be weary because you don't know who and when and at what time the Lord will cause that to be repaid. It may even be to your children after you that will receive some good because of some good that you are doing now. You know, so I say all of this to tell us that, you know, we should not be discouraged, you know, in well doing. Cast thy bread upon the waters. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast your bread, help others, for in many days you'll find it again. Give a portion to 7, also to 8. You don't know what evil is coming in the later days. You know, what you are doing now, you don't know how God's going to use that to bless somebody, maybe one of your children or even grandchildren in the future. You know, so do not be discouraged, you know, from doing the right thing. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 6, in thy morning, sow thy seed, in the evening, withhold not thy hand, you know. Give a portion to this, give a portion to that. You don't know what God's going to do with it. You know, so, you know, I say all of that to tell you that we should not be discouraged in well giving and well doing. But at the same time, remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there are times when you may say no. In today's society, in Christian circles, if you say no, people say you have no love. Because you said no. Yet Jesus was the one that told this story. You know, how the wise virgins said no. So, and I say, what made them wise? Was it because they took oil in this one case? No. What made the others foolish? Was it the fact that they did not take oil in this case? No. They were already foolish, you know, and these ones were already wise. Part of their being wise was the fact that they knew how to analyze situations. They didn't let anybody's lack of planning become their own emergency, and that don't take them down. He said, well, you should have planned. You go get for yourself. If it was today, we would say that those people had no love. Well, Jesus said there are times that you have to do that. Praise the Lord. So we got to balance it right. You know, the key thing, though, is we must not neglect to help the poor. We read yesterday in Deuteronomy where that was said, that the poor will always be among you, Deuteronomy 15 and 11. We also read where Jesus quoted the same thing, you know, John chapter 12, verse 8, and Matthew 26, 11. The poor will always be among you. Finally, yesterday, we talked about a community, a model community, where, you know, in the early church, they demonstrated this thing that God would have in the New Testament. It wasn't about, it wasn't about individual riches alone. It was, look, when those that had excess, they were able to share. And this was a model that we saw in the early church, the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 4, you know, we saw in verses 34 and 35 that people that had extras, you know, they were willing to share. Neither said anyone the things that they owned were theirs, but everyone was willing to share. Well, we need such a community, you know, where we are willing to share. Unfortunately, there may be some bad eggs that make people not want to do that. But the model that God wants is for us to have a community where we can share. And when it doesn't matter, you know, what one person has or doesn't have, or one person does, you know, lacks. Even they that lack in such a community, there is no sense of lack, because those that have extra will get together and help the ones that did not have enough. And at the end, it was the same. And I said yesterday, in such a model community, you can have everyone send their children to good schools, even though they could not afford it, you know, because of those who could sponsor them. Right? This is a model community. Bible says, you know, don't forget to do good, especially to the household of faith. Now, may the Lord help us to get back into such a place where we have a community like that. That would be wonderful, you know, where we can do that again, you know. But there will be those that will want to take advantage of that, you know, but God will help us. It will be a wonderful situation, you know. God taught this story in the Old Testament with the manna and so forth. He told them to gather manna. Don't gather more than you can eat. But those that gathered too much and the others that didn't gather enough, they all, you know, had enough. Because the one that gathered over what they needed gave away to those that did not gather. And they, you know, everybody was able to get something. And this, you know, this carried through even to this model we saw in the New Testament, that nobody lacked anything because those that had extras. So I talked about this briefly yesterday, that when you have extra, what does it mean? Why must God give you extra? I mean, let's just use some simple math. If I need $100, say, for, you know, maybe $100, just a simple math or arithmetic I'm trying to do. You know, it's okay. I need $100 for the month. That's all I need. And the Lord somehow gives me 300. Well, what should I do with the overage of the 200 extra that he gave me? Does it mean that now that I have more than I need? See, God will meet your need. You know, he doesn't really have to give you extra. He can, and most of the time he does, because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But what does it mean if you need 100 and you have 300? Well, means a couple of things. Number one, it means you look at the story of Joseph in the land of Egypt. And that's sound judgment also. You know that, look, in the days of plenty, put away some, because the days of evil are coming. And I can tell you, everybody that's within the sound of my voice, that as surely as you get a blessing and surplus, there will be moments of want. It just that life is full of ups and downs like that. God demonstrated it to us in that story in Egypt, Pharaoh and Joseph. The dreams that Pharaoh had twice, you know, 7 years of plenty, and the land was booming. And after that, 7 years of famine. And the years of famine erased even all the plenty. And people did not even remember the plenty. Joseph, by wisdom, by sound judgment and counsel, came in there and saved the day. But one of the things we learned from that lesson is how to put away 20%. Because that's what Joseph said. He said, look, one-fifth of all these things, put it away for the rainy day. Now, there are some people that don't know how to do any savings. You know, you may not be able to save when you are struggling, you know, from hand to mouth, as people say. But what about when you have excess? What do you do then? A lot of people, sometimes you get a bonus, sometimes you get promotion, sometimes you have excess, you have a windfall, you know, in your investment or whatever. What do you do? Do you just go on a spending spree, you know, traveling spree, shopping spree? You spend all the excess and live for the moment? Well, that's what the so-called prodigal son did. You know, he came into a lot of blessing all at once. And then, you know, he went away and squandered it. And people blame the prodigal son for a lot of things. You know, I don't think he did anything wrong by asking. The Bible says you ask. So he asked. He didn't put a gun to his father's head. He just asked, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You know, I don't need to wait. I want mine now. And the man said, okay. Maybe he didn't say okay at first, but perhaps the boy kept asking him. So finally he gave in to it. And nothing wrong with that, but Jesus himself taught the same thing. He said, look, keep asking until you get what you are wanting. Yeah, so the boy got what he wanted. Nothing wrong with that. What was wrong was that, look, he squandered it when he had a lot of money and a lot of resources. He wasted it with riotous living, we're told. And then after he had wasted it, he began to be in want. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just helping others. This is even helping yourself. When God gives you excess, what do? Well, do well for yourself. That's good. I mean, that a man should do well for himself, eat the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Nothing wrong with that. But then also remember that he gives you excess for a reason. You know? So the days after you have blown everything away, squandered it away, and then you begin to be in want, you cry out to God. God said, but I already gave you. I already provided for that. I said, well, of course you already didn't. I'm in want now. Well, I said, remember all that time when I gave you excess beyond what you needed? Well, it was me providing for you. I was providing for you for the days when you would have need. That's what God would say. You know, so think about it. You know, another reason that God gives you excess is for you to help others. That's the model we saw in Acts chapter 4. Those that had extra, they gave some away to help others. And Jesus said, the poor you will always have. And Paul wrote about these things to the Corinthians and others. He said, look, set aside some if God has blessed you. I don't even want you to be scrambling when I come. Just set aside as God has helped you. For God loves a cheerful giver. Between 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he was telling them these things, you know, and, you know, set aside and I'll gather and take it to the saints in Jerusalem, the poor saints who are in Jerusalem, from some of your abundance, you know. So these are the reasons why God gives us a little more or sometimes much more than we need so that we can help others. If God doesn't want us to help others, why would all these examples be in the scriptures? You know, and then the other side of this coin is, if God wants you to just be foolish, why would Jesus tell these stories like he told of the people that said no? So we got to balance both sides. Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. You know, keep your eyes open. Know your surroundings. Gather all the facts. Grounded in facts. You know, when somebody comes to you and say, well, I have a need. I'm homeless. My child, I'm running away from my husband who's an abuser and this and that. We've heard things like that on this platform. You know, is it true? Well, gather all the facts. It may actually be true. There may be one person that was not true that did that, and it causes us to distrust everybody else does that. But not every case may be like that. You know, and that's why I say, you know, on this platform, if anybody comes here, you know, appearing to be appealing for any help, leave that to the administrator of the room, which means me. You know, let's discern that, you know, because we don't want anybody to fall prey to any of these tactics. Because there are evil elements out there. In the last days, men shall wax worse, you know, deceiving and being deceived. We've been warned about that. So don't think that everybody, what they say is the way it is. Now, on the other hand, we are given instruction by the properties of love to believe all things at first. Bible say love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love sees the best in people. So we give people the benefit of the doubt. We hear them out, you know, but if it turns out that they were deceivers, then you get away from them. Paul said, if you see any man that walks disorderly and did not walk according to the pattern, or example we give, you know, and get away from that, which brings me to where we started. A trigger from a question I was asked 2 days ago. Somebody that was perhaps helped in the past, and they beat off the hand that helped them or did some evil that created distrust or whatever, you know, and then they come back and ask for help again, and should they do it? Well, you know, that's a question for you to answer. You got to be discerning in a situation like that. And what if they ask for help and they repent? Well, Peter asked the Lord the same thing. What if my brother says, I'm sorry? He done me evil, but he said, I'm sorry. Well, how long can I put up with that? 7 times, Peter said. The Lord said, no, 7 times is not enough. Well, you know, 490 times. I said, what? He said, yeah. And the Lord is telling us that you need grace. Every one of us needs grace to have that kind of posture, to be able to forgive like that. You may forgive, but you don't have to be beaten twice. You know, once beaten, twice shy, we're told. You know, yeah. Forgive them. You don't hold them, it against them, but it doesn't mean that you have to fall into the same error again and again and again. You know, so now, when you have situation that you fall into once, you fall into twice, and you don't learn anything, well, then, you know, the sorrow will strike through your heart. You bear that pain. It's you. It's on you. The same thing as, you know, somebody that is being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. You know, we're told in Proverbs 29, you know, so when situations have happened, you know, where the Lord may have, you know, shown you the error of somebody's ways once, twice, and so forth, and you keep doing the same thing, well, you're going to be hurt. So use that wisdom. While we must not block out everybody because of some other evil person's deed, well, we must deal with each person at their own level. You know, love believes all things initially. And I think true love will investigate all things as well, you know, especially, you know, somebody in a position of authority, you know, somebody like me, I check everything out. That's what the Bible says, you know. It said, look, prove all things. and hold on to that which is good. So I check it out. If it looks good, fine. If it's not, then I discard it. So you got to prove all things. But bottom line is, don't block your mind out from helping others, but also use wisdom on a case-by-case basis. One size does not fit all when it comes to helping others. We cannot use the indiscretion of one person where they try to deceive us to use that to block our mind against helping others. And we got to be on a case-by-case basis. For the body person who is a deceiver, whom you have dealt with in the past, and who is always coming, would never, it's, you know, sometimes it's like hell has opened her mouth wide. It's like a bottomless pit. They'll never stop. You know, once they know that they can pull one over you, then you got to use wisdom in that particular case. I pray that the Lord gives us wisdom. I've tried to balance, you know, the scales here, telling us both sides of the equation. So I'm going to leave it there and give us opportunity for more shares. I sense that there could have been more shares in the room yesterday, but there wasn't enough time. So we'll leave some time today. Now that concludes this lesson on using kindness to help others, but at the same time, using sound judgment in some cases. May the Lord grant us wisdom and understanding in all things, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I give you praise and glory. We have shared your words, the words that you gave me, I have given to them. Jesus said the same things in his prayer in John 17. I have given them the words that you gave me. I've kept nothing back. Paul said the same thing. I have not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. Well, neither have I. I've put everything out there, and then it's up to you to decipher and hold on to that which is good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. And we pray that everyone will act responsibly. That's right, in the body of Christ. But that's not always the case. That we do not defraud, do not go beyond and defraud. Let everybody be careful not to go beyond and defraud his brother in anything. And owe no man anything but to love one another. We thank you, Lord, for these admonitions in the scriptures. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. And let nobody be like that wicked person that borrows and will not pay, because it was never in their mind to pay. And I use deception to borrow, but never intending to pay. I pray, Lord, that, you know, as the scripture has said, let the wicked forsake his ways, your righteous man his thoughts, and let them come to God and ask for mercy, and the Lord will pardon abundantly. May that be the case. Let there be true love among the body of Christ and the reality of wisdom and discernment and sound judgment in our midst. We give you, Lord, the praise, give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.